Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. One of the attributes of God that we are so thankful for, God's patience. God reveals himself to be patient, to be slow to anger. Do you remember in Exodus 33, Moses boldly prayed that God would show me your glory. He prayed to God that God would show him his glory. And God put Moses in the cleft of the rock. And as he passed by, he proclaimed his own attributes to Moses. And that was a revelation of his glory. In Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God is slow to anger, but that does not mean that God does not have real wrath and real justice and real judgment. Psalm 103, verse 8 describes the Lord this way. The Lord Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Now, how would you define God's patience? Well, this is one of those attributes that we can kind of connect with a little bit. Theologians distinguish sometimes between God's attributes, which are only God's that we can't relate to at all, like God's omnipresence. He's everywhere all the time. But there are other attributes like love and, in our case, patience here that we can have some measure of connection with, the communicable attribute of God, where we would, God's attributes are communicable. They are relatable to us in this way. God's patience, Wayne Grudem says, means God's goodness in withholding of punishment toward those who sin over a period of time, often connected with his mercy and grace. And of course, we just saw that in Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And so God withholding punishment is directly connected to his mercy and grace. A.W. Pink says that the patience of God is really a display of his mercy and can't really, you know, be denied. It's just all about mercy. And yet, as you think a little bit more carefully about it, even as A.W. Pink did in his book, The Attributes of God, we do see some distinction. Stephen Charnock, the Puritan, says, mercy goes out toward miserable creatures, but patience goes out to criminal creatures. Interesting. So mercy pities us in our misery. Patience bears with the sins that put us in the misery. A.W. Pink defines it this way. God's patience is the power of control God exercises over himself, causing him to bear with the wicked and forbear so long in punishing them. There is no instant revenge in God. Let's just stop and be thankful right now that there is no instant revenge in God. God is slow to anger. So is God, sometimes when you consider God's attributes, we know they're not parts. God is one, but we can look at God's characteristics from different angles, like looking at facets of a diamond. But we can also see how these attributes are also interconnected with one another. So God's patience is related to his anger and his justice and his wrath, but also his power. Isn't that interesting? Because it's God's power of self-control. I mean, sometimes we're forced to be patient if we don't have the power to do anything about it. God always has the power to do what he wants to about it. And yet, sometimes God waits. He's slow to anger, not quick to anger. Remember that wonderful verse in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Have you sinned against God? Yes. Are you the object of God's wrath? Yes. But you're not experiencing the full measure of God's wrath right now. Well, should that make you presume that you will be fine to just keep on going in your sin because God hasn't punished me yet? No. God's patience should lead you to repent. You should turn away from your sin right here, right now. God has been so kind to you, and yet you've persisted in your ways. Should you not instead see your sin for what it is, confess it to God right now, and ask for his mercy? He's been so kind. Again, patience is directly related to his mercy and grace. God is intentionally, graciously holding back what you deserve, what you rightly deserve. And he's been so kind. Here's another great verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Paul tells Timothy, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, that is, the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Have you witnessed to somebody and the person's response is, I've been too bad for God to save. I don't even think I'm savable anymore. But God has not poured his wrath out on you yet. You are not in hell. God has been patient with you. Look at Paul. Paul is a great test case for you to find encouragement. Paul oversaw the murder of godly servant Stephen. As Stephen sought to preach the gospel, Paul oversaw his execution. Paul was so zealous for his understanding of the law that he tried to persecute the church of God. He went from town to town, capturing, enslaving, putting into prison those servants of Jesus. And God saved Paul. God didn't just squash Paul like a bug. No, God saved him and used him. And in the same way, Paul says, God is patient with you. Look, I was a test case of God's patience. We see God's patience all over the scriptures. Think about Israel wandering in the wilderness. I don't know what kinds of thoughts you have as you read through some of those stories in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. You might think, oh, these people complained so much. And that's true. They did again and again. It seems like, wow, you just saw a miracle of God. What did you have for breakfast today? Oh, you had manna, God's provision for you from heaven. You ate the ultimate angel food cake for breakfast. And what did you do all afternoon? You whined and complained about how you could be enslaved in Egypt and be eating different things. Wow. So sometimes we think about that, those stories showing us that we ought not to be complaining, we ought not to be sinning and grumbling. But what does it show us about God's patience? Oh, he was so patient. For 40 years, Israel was sinning against God throughout their time in the wilderness, and God patiently put up with them to bring at least the next generation of the nation into the promised land. It's humbling to think about the patience of the Lord, but it's so good for us to think about the patience of the Lord. So we're going to take a break now. Jimmy's going to tell you about some resources. Maybe he'll even tell you about A.W. Pink's book, The Attributes of God. Oh, that's a good one. I don't know if you've read that one yet, but Pink just takes the Bible. It's like him and his Bible and says, let's look at what the Bible teaches about this attribute or that attribute. One of the chapters is about the patience of the Lord. If you want to dive even deeper, that's a good one. And we will be back to consider more of God's truth about his patience in just a moment.
We'll be back with more from Integrated and Dr. John Crotts in just a moment. And as he talked about A.W. Pink and how he described God's patience, the power of control that God exercises over himself as such a profound way for us to understand patience, especially knowing that God can act at any moment, but he chooses patience. That's what A.W. Pink says in The Attributes of God. And that is a book that I highly recommend to you right now. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. This book is a treasure, a classic for anyone wanting to deepen their understanding of God's character. A.W. Pink's The Attributes of God, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And another resource I want to recommend to you, the Fortis Plus app, completely free, and it's going to give you access to hundreds of hours of content that helps you integrate theology into your everyday experience, just like Dr. Crotts does. Just search Fortis Plus in your app store, and again, it costs you nothing. And you know, as we're listening to Dr. Crotts talk about patience, I couldn't help but think about how challenging it is for us to model that patience in our everyday lives. It should be something that as Christians, we should be able to display pretty quickly. That's exactly why your partnership with us here at Fortis Institute matters so much. Because when you become a gospel partner, you're helping us create resources that transform theological head knowledge into heart-changing, life-altering wisdom. You're providing us with tools that help believers understand not just who God is, but how his character should reshape our responses to the world around us, including our patience. Think about the categories that Dr. Crotts has talked about already. Mistreatment, dealing with provocation, tolerating shortcomings of other people, waiting on God's timing. Those are struggles that we're all facing. And your partnership with us helps us create content that equips believers to face these challenges with godly patience rather than with worldly frustration. And that's why I want to ask if you would consider standing with us in this vital work. If you're currently focused on getting out of debt or faithfully supporting your local church, stay there. Maintain those commitments as your priority. But remember, if you're able to partner with us, your support will enable us to continue producing resources that help believers live out biblical patience in an increasingly impatient world. Find out more about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Crotts as he continues to explore God's patience. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. I hope you were patient during our break, and now you're back. We've been talking about the patience of the Lord, which is so wonderful and so great, and we've all experienced it. We considered some of the different examples and verses that teach about God's patience. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus with the disciples. We can just zero down to Peter. Was Jesus not a model of patience with Peter? I mean, Peter gets things right, and wow, does he ever get them wrong so quickly. Jesus isn't quick to squash Peter like a bug that's annoying him. No, he restores Peter. He lets Peter grow through things. And not only that, he entrusts Peter with a great responsibility of leadership among the disciples and among the early church. He's like, Peter, I'm entrusting you with the gospel message that's going to go forward. You think, well, Peter, yeah, he got a good deal, but what about the rest of us? Oh, we all have experienced God's patience. In 2 Peter chapter, Peter's the one writing this, isn't he? Peter says in 2 Peter 3, he's talking about the issue of the second coming. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? And one of Peter's answers is in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He wants all of his people to be saved. He doesn't want to leave anybody out that's among those that God has chosen to save before the foundation of the world. That's why Jesus hasn't come back yet. At least that's part of it. You say, wow, it could be today. Yeah, I told you, keep an eye on the skies. Jesus could come back, but he's not going to come back until he saves his people. And he's waiting for them to repent. He's waiting for you to repent. And he is being patient. You are experiencing his patience before you're saved. And maybe even after we're saved, right? I think about Jesus talking to the disciples and saying, I have many things to tell you, but you're not ready for them yet. And isn't that the case as you think of your own life? We're all works in progress and the Lord is being so kind and so patient towards us. Well, let's transition to thinking about how God's patience should manifest itself in our lives. I told you before, God's patience is one of his communicable attributes. That is, one that we can relate to, one that we can interact with as well. So let's think about some categories that we experience the temptation towards impatience. Number one, we're suffering mistreatment. Is it at work where you are just getting a raw deal and you can't do anything about it? The higher ups are giving you a tough time. And what are you going to do? And some of you are experiencing mistreatment in your marriage. I hope that's not the case, but it does happen. And what can you do? Well, one thing you can do is remember the justice of the Lord. God's not forgetting about this situation. God sees, God cares, and yet he's being faithful and he's being patient in the midst of this situation. And he is giving you the opportunity to imitate his patience as well. Here's another category. Number two, suffering provocation. This is not where you're just kind of getting a raw deal, but where people are actively, intentionally doing things to make you mad. And in this case, maybe you do have the power to do something about it. Oh boy, oh, you got maybe a... this is just hypothetical, of course, but maybe that teenage boy or girl that is not doing what you told them to do. What can you do? Well, you can remember that God is sovereign and he is working in this situation. There's nothing you will experience ever that doesn't go through his sovereign hands. But you can also remember God's patience. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5 describe love. And it starts right out, doesn't it? Love is patient. Love is not selfish. Love is not demanding of its own way. Love is patient. A teenager is a work in progress. You know, if you think, well, I could do something about this, and you might want to pause and say, let me just pause and remember God's dealing with me. Have I not given God a reason to do something about me? Yes, It's okay to deal with issues of provocation, but we need to do it in a godly way, never in sinful anger. Some people say, well, they deserve it. Yes, well, we deserve God's wrath, don't we? The anger of man, James tells us, does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Let's not respond in sinful anger. Mine's righteous anger. Yeah. I've got a friend who tells me that, righteous anger may exist, but I've never experienced it. And I understand what he means by that. It's the line is so blurry, isn't it? Our sinful self gets so fixated on me and my rights that we think we've got justification to be angry if somebody does something against us. But let's return to the patience of the Lord and let's imitate God's patience. Here's a third category where we're tolerating shortcomings. Now, this is the fault and failures of others. And this is way more common than provocation. Maybe just an irritating habit. Can you be patient with somebody who is irritating? You know, I live close to Atlanta, and Atlanta is notorious, especially at rush hour, of terrible traffic. And you can be in that and go, oh, or you can forbear. What if you have a friend that's late for an appointment? What if they just irritate you in what they do? Well, there's a lot of opportunity for us to be forbearing. And again, let's just think about God and think about his work in this situation. And God has been so merciful to us and so gracious to us. We need to be gracious and merciful to others. We need to be patient with others. Here's a fourth category, waiting on God. Waiting on God. God's clock is set differently than my clock. I want God to do this and I want him to do it now. But we need to have faith that God is faithful. God is at work. God will help us. God is on the move. And even if his timing is not the same as my timing, could it be that God's timing is better than my timing? Yes. Every time God's timing is the best. God is so wise. He does everything just right, even if it's different than what we would wish was the case. Here's a fifth category, persevering through adversity. We go through hard times and we don't even know what God's up to sometimes. I think that's a great illustration of that is Hebrews chapter 11, which is sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame, where all of those Old Testament heroes did what they did by faith. But the whole point, if you look at Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12, which command the Hebrews to persevere, to have endurance, to go through hard times, Hebrews 11, sandwiched in the middle of that, is one example after another of somebody persevering by faith. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't know what was going to happen or how God was going to fulfill his promises, and yet they persevered. How did they do it? By faith. They believed in God's character. They believed in God's promises. They believed in God's purposes. They believed in God's plans. Now you may say, oh boy, here we are. I don't know if I can be a doer of the word yet. I do agree that there's many opportunities that I'm provoked to impatience. But let me give you some comfort. Let me give you the word that the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now. And one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit is producing in his people is patience. You can pray, God, help me be more patient. I mentioned A.W. Pink's book, The Attributes of God. Dig into that. Meditate on that. That's one of the things I used to even kind of think through the material for today's program. The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink, that's going to help. But you can know the Holy Spirit cares more about your sanctification, including your patience, than you do. And he is working right now to translate the patience of the Lord into your, not just head, not just to be a knower of God's word, but into your life so that you can be a doer of God's word, because that's what we want to do on Integrated. We want to put God's truth to work in our lives. May it be that he helps us become more patient people.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.